This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Our scripture reading is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. This is what God's most holy word says. It says, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. They were no doubt angels. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Let's a brief word of prayer. Jesus, we love you and praise you. And I just thank you for all your incredible blessings on us. Lord, I pray you would anoint my lips, but I pray you would anoint people's ears. Anoint my lips to speak and their ears to hear. And God, just be with men, women, boys, or girls today. Whoever needs a touch from you, may this message be relevant. And we love you and praise you. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My favorite preacher was a man by the name of Adrian Rogers. Adrian, 20 years ago, went to heaven. But Adrian Rogers said, when you preach, he said, do this. He said, simplify, simplify, simplify. And he said, if you simplify, 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 they'll say he's profound. He's profound. So I want to simplify, simplify, simplify. And what I want to talk to you about is, where is Jesus now and what is he doing? Where is Jesus right now and what is he doing? I love to take groups to Israel. I love to take groups because I've been there many times, and I love to watch the expressions on their faces at different sites. I know a little bit about what's coming up. And one of my favorite place to take people in Israel is to the Mount of Olives. It's the highest point. We always go to the Mount of Olives on one of the last days because that's where we can take a group photo of the entire city of Jerusalem. It's special to me for a lot of reasons. It's special to me because, folks, this is the highest point in Israel. It's literally the highest point. It's where Jesus ascended to heaven from, and it's where Jesus is coming back to. Now, as I begin to think about this message on the ascension, you know, we talk much about the birth of Jesus Christ. Think about it, we have a month in December. I mean, the department stores start putting the Christmas decorations out in October. We have a long time where we talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. And then the death and resurrection, we talk about it, we give emphasis to it on Easter. But we don't talk much about the ascension of Jesus Christ. The ascension of Jesus Christ. Now, I preached two messages. And I told you that after Jesus was resurrected, he walked around for 40 days. He made 11 different appearances. But after 40 days, he ascended to heaven. And I began to process, why after 40 days? I believe the 40 days really represents victory. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, in Noah's day, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. But God preserved Noah's family. For 40 days, Goliath said, give me a man. Give me a man. But after 40 days, he got one. Amen? I mean, Moses went up on Mount Sinai. He went up on Mount Sinai for 40 days and came back with the Ten Commandments. Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness, tempted of the devil. But after that, he overcame him and was victorious. See, I believe the reason why the ascension was after 40 days is the ascension symbolizes victory. And it symbolizes victory in our lives. That's why I think it's paramount today that we don't just talk about the birth. We don't just talk about the death. We don't just talk about the resurrection. But I think it's paramount, ladies and gentlemen, that you understand the ascension of Jesus Christ. Let me say some things about it. First of all, I want you to understand the reality of the ascension. The reality of the ascension. It's in verse 9. Look what he says. It says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. What did he do? He defied gravity. He literally, he was there on the Mount of Olives, and he just started going up. And ladies and gentlemen, he went through the first heaven where the birds and the trees are, and he went through the second heaven where the stars and the moon and the planets are, and he went up to the third heaven. He went up to the very dwelling place of God. Now I want you to understand, this was prophesied in Scripture. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. David was 1,000 years before Jesus Christ. They were both born in Bethlehem, but he was 1,000 years before Jesus. And look what David said. The Lord said unto my Lord. The word Lord there means Yahweh. The Lord here means Adonai. The Lord said to my Lord. God said to Jesus, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. I want you to know, it was prophesied in the Old Testament, but it was not only prophesied in the Old Testament, it was predicted by Jesus Christ. In John chapter 7, verse 33, look what he said. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I am with you, then I'm going to go to him that sent me. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus didn't begin in Bethlehem. He was in the beginning. When God said, let us make man in our image, he was speaking to God the Son, and he was speaking to the Holy Spirit. But the day came when God said, son, I need you to go to that lowland of sorrow because there's got to be a propitiation. There's got to be a sin debt paid. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus came and lived a sinless life and went to the cross and bled and died for our sins. But after 33 years, he ascended back to God. And when he went back into heaven, I believe according to Revelation 5:13, the angels lined the halls of heaven. And they said, honor and power and glory be unto the Lamb of God. Be unto the Lamb of God. He's back. He's back. I believe the saints of God, I believe the saints of God lifted their hands toward heaven and said, the reason why we get to be here, I'm sorry, folks, but the reason why we're here is because of him. And he is back. He is back. He is back. I believe that Jesus walked up to his father, opened his nail-scarred hands. His father looked down and saw the nail-scarred hands, and I believe he said to his father, "Father, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb." And I believe for the third time, God looked at him and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I am so proud of you, boy." Oh, folks, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was predicted by Jesus Christ. But I want you to know something else. It was proven in the Scriptures. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? It was proven in the Scriptures. Well, Stephen was the first deacon. Stephen was the first deacon in the Word of God. And in Acts, you know, chapter 7, verse 55, verse 56 says this. They martyred Stephen. But get this, folks. But being full of the Holy Ghost. I love to see church buildings fill up. But there's nothing worse than a full building of half full people. Amen? Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. Now look, they were stoning him. They were stoning him. And what did Jesus do? Jesus got up from his seat. Y'all okay? Jesus got up from his seat and he said, "Bless God, he's being martyred. He's given his life for me. I'm going to give him a standing ovation. I'm going to give him a standing ovation." And he said, "I saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, 'Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.'" Well, Paul was on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, and a light shined down from heaven. John, he was in his 90s. He was on an isle called Patmos that I've preached from. Jesus had been dead 60 years. But John said one day, "I looked up, and there he stood. His hair was white like wool. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And he said to me, 'Oh, John, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of death and hell.'" Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to see the reality of the ascension. But I want you to see something else. I want you to see the reassurance of the ascension. This is Memorial Day weekend. It was 1942 during World War II. And the Japanese were taking control of the Philippines. And the Philippines had a leader by the name of General Douglas MacArthur. And Franklin Roosevelt said, "General MacArthur, for the safety of you and your family, you must go to Australia. You've got to go." MacArthur didn't want to go. He wanted to stay and fight the Japanese. But President Roosevelt said, "No, for the safety of your family and for the safety of our nation, you've got to go to Australia where you'll be protected." General MacArthur looked at the people of the Philippines and he said these words, "I shall return." There he is returning. "I shall return." And 2.5 years later, he returned and liberated the people in the Philippines from the Japanese. I am grateful for General MacArthur, but one far greater than him said, I shall return. Shall return. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let me tell you something else. What are the results of the ascension? Pastor, why does it matter to us that Jesus Christ ascended? There's three reasons why it matters, maybe more. But it proves our sin debt is paid in full. See, in Exodus chapter 29, morning and evening, that priest was offering sacrifice for sin. He was taking a lamb. He was putting it on the altar. He was taking a lamb. He was putting it on the altar. He was taking a lamb. He was putting it on the altar. And then the high priest, he would go into the Holy of Holies and he would offer up sacrifice. Let me explain. There were seven pieces of furniture in the Holy of Holies. There was the table of showbread. There was the copper altar. There was the Ark of the Covenant. But let me tell you what there was not. There was not a chair. There was not what you're sitting in. You say, well, Pastor, why wouldn't they be a chair? Because they never sat down. Because they were having to continually offer sacrifice for sin. But look what Hebrews chapter 10 says. And every priest, notice, stand up daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. It was just a covering to the next year. But look, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. No more need for sacrifice. Our sin debt is paid in full. I'm sorry, folks. Our sin debt is paid in full because of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something else. Why does the ascension matter? It empowers us. It empowers us. See, before Jesus went away in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, get this. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He said, you're going to get a dose of the Ghost. Not many days hence. This is what I believe. Now, this is Benny. This is not. This is Benny. And you. This is. But you know what I believe Jesus did? I believe he went to heaven. And when he got to heaven, he went. It was his spirit. That's why I believe it came like a mighty rushing wind. It came like a mighty rushing wind. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand. Because he's there. Because he's up there. And because the Holy Spirit is in here, we can handle whatever's out there. This is so good. Listen what John 16 and 7 says. He said, it's expedient or necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. See, when Jesus was in Jerusalem, he couldn't be 5 miles away in Bethlehem. He He'd only be in one place. That's why in John 14 and 12, he said, the works I do, you'll do also, and you'll do greater works because I go to the Father. Because when I go to the Father, I'm going to give the Holy Spirit to the entire body, the bride of Christ. Oh, that's reason enough to clap. That's reason enough to be excited. And he's the one, folks, he's the one that helps us. He empowers us. How do we accomplish? Look, quit trying to do stuff in your own strength. Folks, unless there is within us, unless there is he that is within us, we're going to soon yield to that which is around us. They laid the foundation of the temple. Took them 2 years. Get this. And for 17 years, nothing happened. So, Pastor, nothing's happening in my life. For 17 years, nothing happened. And then Zechariah said to Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4, verse 6, he said, it's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my... Look. Why is this relevant to us? It proves our sin debt's paid in full. It empowers us. Look, can I tell you the third thing? And I can't camp here long. But he's going to the Father on our behalf. Hebrews 7 and 25 says, look, he's making intercession for us. The disciples are on the Sea of Galilee and they get in a storm. They get in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. But in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, Jesus is on the mountain praying for them while they're in the storm. And then he comes to them. And he said, don't be afraid. I'm here. Now look, if you could look down here this morning, and you said, Jesus is right down there on his knees. And he's praying for me. He's if you could just see him kneeling right there praying for you. And I mean, literally, he's calling out your needs. He's literally lifting. He's sharing your request. You'd say, oh, Pastor, I'd feel so good. Well, I've got news for you. That's what he's doing, and you just can't see it. Now, let me tell you. Lastly, he's preparing us a home. He's preparing us a home. You know, you hear so much about the Taj Mahal. What, Pastor? What's the story about, the Taj Mahal, you know, somebody, he's building a Taj Mahal. What is the story about the Taj Mahal? Well, it was built in India. It was actually built by an emperor in India. He built the Taj Mahal because he wanted a place to bury his bride. Literally, the estimated cost, $53 billion today, equivalency. $53 billion, to get this. It took him 20 years to build it for a place to bury his bride. Whew. Jesus, for 2,000 years, has been preparing a place not to bury his bride, but he's been for 2,000 years working on a place, oh, glory be to God, working on a place not to bury us, but a place so we can live and have abundant eternal life. Man, I started thinking about all the places that the Lord's even allowed me to see in my life, and I thought about all the places. Like, I remember going to the Grand Canyon. Somebody said, Brother Benny, it's just a big hole in the ground. You didn't see the same hole I did. No, I walked up and wept. I sensed the presence of God. I sensed the handiwork of God when I saw the Grand Canyon. I thought about, Lord, look what you made. I remember standing under Niagara Falls and thinking, that's massive. All the beautiful things in this world. I remember being on a ship and looking in at Santorini, Greece, and thinking, I think that's one of the most beautiful things my eyes have ever seen. Alaskan glaciers. Beautiful things. Hey, wait. Neyland Stadium. I'm just kidding about that last one. But here's what I want you to see, folks. Think about it. He did all this in 6 days. He's preparing us a place. He's been working on it 2,000 years. That's why it pays to live for God. And the retirement plan is out of this world. This world's not our home, by the way. We're just passing through. Now, I'm almost done. But what should our response be to the ascension? What should our response? I want to take you straight to the Bible. In Luke chapter 24, it tells us what our response ought to be to the ascension. Look what it says. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. What should our response be to the ascension? Number one, worship. We ought to worship him, ladies and gentlemen. The fact that he died, they buried him, he arose, and he's ascended, and he's at the right hand of God, that tells me he is worthy of my worship, and he's worthy of your worship. Now look, the second thing I want you to notice, they had joy. They had joy. Well, Pastor, why would I have joy? Because he's interceding for you. Because he's your advocate. And every time the devil accuses you of something, he says, Father, that's under the blood. Because, folks, he's building you a home. And he's coming back for you. This is not the message. I'm going to elaborate more on this next week. Pastor, how can I have joy? Well, if you look in Philippians, that's been my devotion. I've been going through the book of Philippians in my daily devotion. But in Philippians 1 and 18, he said this, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therefore in do I rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice. You know what Paul said? He said some are preaching Christ with the wrong motives. But he said, I rejoice that Christ is being preached. Here's what I want you to see about Paul. He looked for the good. He looked for the good in people. And if you look for the good, you'll see the good. Because, by the way, there's bad and good in everybody. But if you look for the good, you can have joy. If you look for the good in God, you'll have joy. If you look for the good in your husband, you can have joy. If you look for the good in your wife, you can have joy. If you look for the good in your children, you'll have joy. If you look for the good in your job, you'll have joy. If you look for the good in your church, you'll have joy. If you look for good in your preacher, you'll have joy. Amen? And get this, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we need to look for good so we can have joy. worship, joy, then lastly, service. It's in Mark chapter 16. So after the Lord had spoken, he was received into heaven. He sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and they preached everywhere. Folks, it's not time to back off. It's time to intensify. I want to do more right now for the Lord than I ever have. You say, why, preacher? I'm closer to the finish line. No, I'm not going to retire. I'm just going to refire. Amen? Just get right back in there. Some of you retired, but look here. You don't ever retire from serving Jesus. You got a pulse. He's got a plan. You're not dead. God's not done. Amen? He's got a purpose.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.